Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.
Welcome to Press Start, an all-NPR podcast about the art and culture of video games. I'm Ralph Cooper.
And I'm Kyle Orland, and we're live from the Barker Hangar, Los Angeles, E3 2007.
Right, and this is absolutely just a visual orgasm. Like I walked into the Barker Hangar, and it's absolutely different than the rest of the of E3, because when you walk in, it's instant, like it's flash, it's big things hanging from the ceiling. It's no question that this is definitely a video game conference, and there are nothing but flat screens and really just games everywhere.
It's not quite as flashy as the years before, but there's still a lot going on. There's definitely hundreds of games here.
Yeah,
too many to see in 3 days even.
Well, yeah, not only is it too many to see, but it's almost like too much to deal with. It's like I went from playing the 360 to playing the PlayStation to playing a PC game. Shout out to Rob. all the way back to playing something on the Wii. It's just ridiculous.
It's all over the place. So there's a lot to cover. We got a few press conferences from all the console makers. First up on Tuesday night was Microsoft. Ralph, what'd you think of that?
I thought that... And Microsoft guys, don't get mad at me. I feel like Microsoft, it was a great presentation. Possibly one of the best presentations that I've seen. But at the end of the day, they live in their own world. Like, you know, they kept talking about how they were leaders and everything, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, you guys might be leaders in online play, but you're getting killed sales-wise.
Yeah, they're really not doing well in sales. They had a lot of games coming out. I mean, they were showing off game after game, and they were all coming in 2007. That was their big thing. But they didn't have any real big surprises. These were all games that we had known about. We'd known they were coming for a while, where everyone else had at least one or two surprises. So they were, I guess they're the sales leader right now, right? They got like 10 million units worldwide, but they have a year head start. I feel like they're kind of squandering it without really trying to push it forward. They think they've won already.
Not only do they think they've won, but they feel like they're the leaders, you know? And their big announcement, so to speak, was their new controller. That's supposed to be for this video game show.
A little casual game controller with simplified buttons.
Yeah, and it looked like something I've seen before. I'm not sure. Have you seen anything like that?
A controller that's simplified, you mean? Something that's easy to use and doesn't have as many buttons? I don't know where they could have gotten such an idea.
It looks almost like a TV remote.
Huh.
Yeah,
original.
Original. Innovative. It's interesting. Big thumbs down to Microsoft for that one. Sorry. And just a note to you Microsoft guys. Don't have your CEOs or GMs come out and get beat by regular people. That's not cool, okay?
Well said. All right, next up was Nintendo on Tuesday morning. What did you think of that prior to this conference?
As usual, Nintendo delivers. I like the fact that Nintendo, to me, out of all three of the conferences, that being Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, Nintendo really was the least arrogant, most energetic, most looking towards the future, and they had no question about where they sit in the market. Like, you could feel, I'm not going to say it was arrogance, but damn it, you could feel the confidence brimming. Like,
yeah, they were on it. They definitely know who they are. They definitely know who they're going for, and that's kind of not so good necessarily, because at this conference, it's all like the hardcore gamers, the game press, and I don't know if they were really feeling what they were going for. They're going for the moms and the grandmothers and, you know, your sister is playing, but the real big thing that they showed at the end, which I think is going to be just huge. When this hits, it's going to be like the Wii launch all over again. Is Wii Fit?
Yeah.
This is a game. You got a little balance pad. Which is like a step stool, kind of.
Right. Remember the Reebok Step.
There you go.
Right.
It's like an aerobicizer. You stand on it, and it senses your center of gravity. So you kind of lean back and forth, and you can control a bunch of mini games with this, or you can do aerobics, yoga, push ups. It guides you through it, and it tells you how well you're doing. Even if your form is bad, it detects it and tells you. It's like a personal fitness trainer in your Wii.
Now I'd like to say for the record that somebody predicted this in January. Somebody predicted Wii Fitness things all over the place.
What podcast number was that? We'll have to check that.
We have to check that. But, you know, we were ahead of our time, I like to say.
I'd like to say that Nintendo is stealing ideas from us, but I don't have any confirmation on that. So that would just be speculation.
Well, you know what's funny is I had a chance to confront Reggie Fils-Aimé, the guy who's the president of Nintendo. And it was weird just to talk to him and hear him say that, you know, their goal is, you know, it would be nice to give a Wii Fit to every personal fitness trainer in Los Angeles.
Oh,
but it goes back to what you're saying is, though, like, there were a lot of hardcore gamers here. And even the hardest of hard gamers saw the Wii Fit, understood what it could do, what it could be.
I've heard a lot of people talking a little derisively.
Yeah, definitely.
Though.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I heard, because I'm thinking, oh, this is neat.
I thought so, too.
And then I talked to some of the harder cats, and they're like, ah, they're not making that for us. Like, where's the skateboarding game, or where's the da-da-da-da-da? And
yeah.
I'm like, you know, the idea here is saturation. And,
yeah. You
know, when you look at it from a business perspective, I understand it. When I look at it from the hardcore gamer perspective, I feel like they gave you the Wii Zapper, which is basically a plastic, for lack of a better word, sheath that you put around the nunchuck and the remote, and it turns it into a basic little gun. And I was playing one of the Capcom games that's about
Resident
to come
Evil Umbrella Chronicles?
Oh, no, I haven't tried that yet.
But
we'll go
there.
no, this was, I'm so upset now that I can't remember that.
What'd you think of the Zapper then?
I think the Zapper's ridiculous. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was Time Crisis.
Oh, okay.
It was Time Crisis what I played. And just the fact that they're doing that now, like, you know, they made it into a little gun. It reminded me really of the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah.
The Zapper for the Dreamcast and Impossible Mission. Because you can move and stuff with the way the controller was set up. But
now, you kind of hold it at chest level, right?
Yeah,
you don't really hold it up to your eye.
Yeah.
And then I've heard some delay. They have some delay issues. Is that true? I haven't played it yet.
The one I played didn't have any.
Okay.
In fact, the one I played, the only issue I kind of had was just keeping the cursor on the television.
Mm-hmm.
But once you got through that, it was fine. I didn't find it to be that bad. And to be honest, so far out of everybody, Nintendo's kicked total ass in the press conference category.
Yeah, they had a strong press conference, but they still got a weakness, and that's, you know, third-party support. The third parties are still caught flat-footed. They don't really know what to do. They showed off, you know, Mario Galaxy, Smash Brothers.
And what else did they show? What else did they show off? They showed off FIFA. Yeah. With an Arsenal jersey. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
So FIFA is one third-party game, but, you know, that doesn't make a huge lineup like Microsoft and Sony have. Nintendo's own games can only carry them so far. The third party's got to get on this.
But you know what? I'll say this. Walking around the hangar so far, I've seen a lot more third-party titles for the Wii than I really did. I'm seeing a lot more third-party games for the Wii than I really saw them say at the press conference.
Yeah, they're just not stressing them, I guess.
Yeah, no, and I guess in their current position, do they have to? I mean, like, they're kind of already out there. Like I said, even in having the cool chance to speak to Reggie, he was very, very humble in his confidence, you know what I'm saying, which I thought was neat. And people were asking him questions to clearly see where he felt as far as competition and stuff like that. Handled them all very coolly.
He's a cool customer.
He's a cool, cool customer.
All right. Next press conference was Sony.
Mm.
They were tops last generation. Now they're third in the press conferences, third in installed base, even months after the PS3's out. What'd you think of their conference?
I thought it was pretty. I thought that the free drinks that they had at the bar were off the hook.
They're trying to give us free stuff, trying to get good coverage.
Yeah, no, they definitely had you soiled. They had food, but when it comes down to the games, I have to admit that seeing Hideo Kojima in the Metal Gear was ridiculous.
No one does a trailer like Kojima.
Oh,
that Metal Gear Solid 4,
it's
mind-blowing.
I've been watching the trailer. I taped it on my Clio. I've been watching it over and over. The fight scene at the end
is
one of the most incredible things I've seen.
But and every time you watch it, there's something new, some little new wrinkle
time,
in there.
Every time, right. I'll say that I liked... I loved Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Haze,
is the name
of the game.
Tell our listeners about Haze a little
bit. Haze is another almost shooter kind of, not necessarily Halo, but it's a massive shooter where a guy, he's trained one way to take people out, and then all of a sudden he decides to be anarchist, and, you know, he doesn't like these people anymore, and he goes to take them out, and the graphics were great, the gameplay seemed wonderful, and the way they ended the press conference with the Resistance game, Killzone game that's about to come out was really dope.
I've heard good things about the Killzone. What really interested me was one that I'd never heard of before the show was Infamous by Sucker Punch. Did you see that? It was
Sucker Punch.
About this superhero who's like the only person with superpowers in the world, I guess. And he's got all sorts of power. He has the power, you know, to destroy the world with like a snap of his fingers, or he could do good. He could try and, you know, prevent crime. He can try and become a Superman type character. And it's really up to you. You can go either way. These world building games are all the rage right now, and this
right.
is a really interesting take on it. It combines the superhero genre, it combines openness of like Grand Theft Auto. So it was really good. You know, Sony had a lot of games that were surprising to me. It was they were really focused on getting content out there.
I felt like that, but then I also feel like they were also kind of trying to bridge the gaps, so to speak. Like they were really trying to also push like online content, being able to download movies. I believe their next big game is going to be a straight download. What was it?
Warhawk is going to be a download. Yeah,
Warhawk was a straight download to your machine. So I'll definitely say that the explosion factor was there. And Chewbacca definitely did help.
Chewbacca at the conference.
Yeah, Chewbacca did help an ailing press conference where they unveiled a new PSPs.
Yeah.
Which I must say, the Darth Vader one is exceptionally hot.
It's nice to look at, but it's not really that different, right? They made the battery lighter or something, and
And they put an AV port on it so you can plug it to the television. But at the end of the day, isn't that why you got the thing in the first place?
Yeah, you want to leave your television. If I have a television, I'll watch a DVD.
Right. I have a flat screen in my hand. I'm happy.
How about the price drop for the PSP? Not the PS3, rather. Down to $500 for the 60 gig model, and then the new 80 gig model at $600. What do you think of that?
Dropping a bucket?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? I mean, if people can't, like, one of the things that I thought was also interesting to go back to the conversation with the guy from Nintendo. With Reggie, he said that he felt as though HD was ahead of his time as far as video games was concerned. And when he said it kind of was like, yep, thank you. I'm glad to hear somebody say that.
You know, I play video games for a living. I don't even have an HD TV.
Right. And
I don't feel like I'm missing so much.
No.
I still see the same games. I could still play the game. The lower resolution doesn't make me worse at the game, you know? No. It doesn't make me enjoy it that much less.
No, and I will say, like, you know, in certain games where it was definitely developed so that you see a difference, like the Maddens, any of the EA, like, sports games, any of the 2K sports games, most of the sports games I feel are ones that really, really were done for the high definition, you know, let me see them sweat on their eyebrows type stuff.
Right.
But, like, with the regular games, man, I've played Killzone Liberation on a not Liberation. I played Resistance Fall of Man on an HD screen, and I played it on just my regular old TV at home. And to be honest, it really wasn't that much of a difference.
You'd still play it, but
right,
so you think the extra price is trying to push HD out for Sony, and it's not worth it.
No, and I don't, and I also think like with you already had slumping sales, you already know that people aren't buying this machine in mass. $100 price drop?
Well, what did you want? 200? 300?
Yeah, basically, let's compete.
They're already taking a loss on this system.
That's not my fault. That is not my fault.
It is not your fault. I'm surprised that they introduced the 80 gig one. They had the clean price drop. It was down to $500. It was coming close to the 360. By the way, 360 did not announce a price drop.
No, they did not.
Nearing 600 days without a price drop. That's the longest of any recent console.
And not only did they not talk about a price drop, but they also introduced a new console.
Yeah, the Halo 3 edition, which has no details at all.
Nothing at all.
I found out that it has a 20 gig hard drive, but they didn't release a price. It's just a new color. I mean,
yeah, and the color's not that fresh. Okay,
it's like a gunmetal gray, greenish. Right.
Yeah, it's a gunmetal green and puke orange.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I need that sitting in the living room right next to the ottoman.
That's going to totally replace the nice black Elite version.
Yeah, definitely, because we all want everybody to see our bright Xbox. But I think the next thing we're about to wrap, and I think the next thing that we'll probably talk to you guys about is our final day impressions. We'll probably do our next one here from the Barker Hangar as well. We'll probably give you some insight on some of the parties that we went to, because that's definitely been the ultimate change here at E3. No booth babes, no debauchery, no nakedness anywhere unless you go to find it.
Unless you go to the parties. Rock Band last night. We'll tell you about it in the next podcast,
right.
But we got to wrap up here. So I'm Kyle Orland.
Ralph Cooper.
We're at E3, and we'll talk to you next time.
Peace. Shout out, Rob.